You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Southwell, Exeter and Toaster in the afternoon. Then it's an evening card at Chelmsford City. We've got four races to preview on this edition of the podcast. But remember to join us live on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:20pm on Thursday afternoon in the company of Gary Capewell, Paddy Aspel and Craig Forsyth. But ahead of all that, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on this edition to offer up his thoughts on the action is Chris Pimrott. How are you, Pimmers?
I'm very good. Afternoon to you, Sam. I'm in top form, counting the days down to when Santa arrives and then looking forward to that William Hill Winter Festival on Boxing Day and the day after. Can't wait. Exciting stuff ahead.
Yeah, he's nearly on his way, isn't he? Have you got all your shopping done, Pimmers?
I don't do that sort of thing, really. No. I've got a hat that I wear called with Bar Humbug on, I think.
Right.
That's as far as I go.
Right.
You know what I mean? I might break a tradition and I might just get Ken Pidderson a present.
You're going to get Ken a present? That's very festive and charitable, aren't you?
I think I might just do that, yeah. Which will be happy days.
You're doing the Boxing Day shift in the Racing Radio studio,
I'm indeed, yeah. Looking forward to that, which I've done for many a year. So I enjoy that, getting Ken's thoughts on those good horses at Kempton on Boxing Day is always a Brucey bonus. And again, it gets me out of the house, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gets you away from the family animosities.
You know.
All the drama. Come in here and watch some top quality action.
Exactly. And sometimes they even pay me.
Yeah.
Refreshing.
Which is even more of a bonus, absolutely.
Exactly.
We'll take a quick spin through the news first on the podcast then, Pimmers. And we'll start with the top story in the Racing Post this morning. Something we've spoke about quite a bit on podcast previous, this issue of prize money. But ArcTrack's committing to raising the prize money by a quarter next year. And of course, we're recording this on a day where Ludlow are putting up 100 grand prize money, more prize money on offer today at Ludlow than there is at a Grade 1 track like Newbury. Things starting to go in the right direction where money's concerned.
Oh, most certainly. I mean, I have to say that I feel that, Arena Racing have been a little bit shy with the prize money in the past. But no, this is all positive. They're putting the money where the mouths are, so to speak. And this can only be a big benefit to racing. Obviously, they're putting in a consolation race as well at Newcastle for the big race there.
On the all-weather.
£75,000. So, again, another good prize to be had there. Plus, you know, they're bolstering one or two of the big races that they already sponsor. So, yeah, well done to them. It's a positive move. And it's encouraging that, they have decided that this is the way forward.
Yeah, certainly is. And I suppose Arena Racing is one thing. They're a big company with a lot of money. But for an independent track like Ludlow to be investing so much of the profits back into the prize money can only be a good thing. As I say, 100 grand on offer today.
Absolutely
something.
Fabulous prize money for the track. They've been well represented by the size of the fields that they've got there today. And again, yes, we're praising Ludlow, but by the same token, shouldn't really this be the norm?
Yeah. I suppose so, yeah.
You know, when you think what it costs to buy your horse, to keep it in training, your jockey and everything else, transport, you know, it's not a cheap thing to do to own a racehorse. Mm. And so by getting a just reward, I think it is very worthy. And, to me, Ludlow, brilliant. But again, this should be the par for the course rather than wow.
The exception, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose it's a bit of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. The more prize money they offer, the better horses they're going to attract, the more stories that are going to be for the race course. And it all grows together.
Oh, yes,
I guess,
it should do. It should have the snowball effect, to be fair, that it grows and grows and everybody prospers then.
Yes, certainly. But a good move anyway from Ark, and we look forward to seeing that in the new year. Other news, slightly more upsetting news. Coneygree has been ruled out for at least the rest of the year. It's a possible season-ending injury. A slab fracture on the hock. He's not he's not one we hear too much of, Pimmers. And I know all the vibes yesterday from the Bradstock team were good. He was schooling well. The King George was starting to come back on the agenda. Today we've woken up and that's it, possibly out for the season.
Yeah, amazing, really, to be perfectly honest. You know, quoting the Racing Post, he schooled really well this morning over 16 fences. There's obviously a bit of a worry. He has been in pain the last time we schooled him, and you always worry a horse will remember that. But everything was good, and Nico was delighted. So yesterday morning, they were absolutely thrilled to bits. 24 hours later, we then get the news that he suffered this injury. A slab fracture of the hock is something that I've not actually come across. But obviously the hocks are very important to the horse because that helps him propel himself forward when he jumps. Often they do need little bits of help to keep them fit and well, if you understand. But the slab fracture for me is a first. I'm not really sure what it is. But anything that's to do with the hocks is always difficult to treat because they're always on the move with them. You know what I mean? It's like your elbow or your knee.
Yeah.
So they can't actually rest it. So it's a slight concern. He is a fragile beast as well. Mm. He's going to be 9 shortly. You just worry about all those little combinations that we might not see this Congaree again.
Yeah, that's right. Are we perhaps seeing now some sort of after effects in the Gold Cup? Because when he came back at Sandown, everyone was amazed to see that he'd seemingly brushed off the Gold Cup and he looked fine on his reappearance. But now we're starting to see, as you said, the fragilities. We've seen him have a long layoff earlier on in his career. We're starting to see the toll of that hotly run race maybe catching up with Coney Green now.
Could possibly be, yeah. But, you know, to be honest, he hasn't actually got that many miles on the clock. Mm. His style of running obviously puts a lot of pressure on his body. Because, you know, he front runs and he goes hard at it. And that just might be how he is, you know. But often, and this is the sad bit about the national hunt scene, is that often we pick up the paper and one of the stars is injured, you know, because it's a very, very physical job on these horses' bodies, you know. And time and time again, you get thinking, building up to the big race, surely one goes by the wayside.
Yeah. It's the nature of the beast.
Correct.
I presume there is. I mean, there's nothing really you can do. I know Simon Sigg's been in the paper this morning as well. What a superstar performer he is on his day, but he's another one who's had a lot of setbacks. Talking of, well, they're hoping they'll avoid an operation now, but you are right. We see it season in, season out, don't we? There's always one or two of the big names that don't make the season.
And again, we get a bit complacent, we get a bit blasé about these big boys turning up when actually, you know, to get there in one piece, ready to rock and roll, is something of a victory anyway.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. What has that done to your ideas about the King George now? It's still set to be a pretty decent renewal of the race, albeit Koenigsegg won't take part in it now, but we've still got betting online for this. Don Cossack, the 9-4 favourite, Vitor, 3-1, Q-Card, 4-1. Silvaniaco Conti, 7-1.
I mean, he's
won the race
twice.
The last 2 years,
So, you know, just shows the strength that we've got in it this year.
Yeah, it does.
Obviously, Don Cossack's an interesting player. Vitor, very, very much on my shortlist. Q-Card, been brilliant this season. Smad Place was brilliant in the Hennessy. Mm. You know, this is an absolute cracker, you know. And it's certainly not lost any of its prestige, that is for sure, even though Koenigsegg isn't going to make the lineup. Brilliant race in prospect.
Yeah, certainly will. We're looking forward to that when it comes up on Boxing Day. We'll move on, though, now to matters closer at hand. We're taking a look at Thursday's action. We've got 2 races from Exeter, 1 from Toaster and 1 from Chelmsford to preview. Just a note, all Toaster races on Thursday with 5 or more runners are subject to our money back for second guarantee. So if you have a bet and your horse is beat into second in races with 5 or more runners, then you will be refunded as a free bet. That's bets up to £25. We start in chronological order with the first at Exeter. This is their 150. A Class 2 graduation chase here over 2 miles and a furlong. Just the 4 runners line up to contest this. But on the basis of the forecast and what we know about these horses, it's likely we're probably not going to have a short price jolly here. They're all in with a chance of sorts.
It's only 4 runners. Good prize on offer of £12,500. Official going is heavy at the time of recording. And again, to be fair, you could make a case for all four of these. Venetia Williams, Cash and Go. Well, he's beaten 23 lengths last time out behind Art Mask. But again, that wasn't too bad a run. That was at Kempton back in May. So he's had a bit of a break since then. Dunraven Storm, the Philip Hobbs yard, flying along, as too is Richard Johnson. And again, he ran well enough in defeat at Ascot last time out when he was 3¾ lengths behind Dresden. So again, that was plenty good enough. Solar Impulse, then Paul Nichols runner. Well, Nichols slightly in and out of form of late, but at time of recording again, he's already had two winners on Wednesday afternoon. So, you know, that just gives you a little bit more confidence that the team are some sort of form. And again, he ran at Haydock last time we saw him behind Dr. Phoenix, not beaten too far, but he was last of the three finishers. And the one I'm going to select here is the bottom horse, Kyle Marlock, who got his head in front last time out at Uttoxeter over the same or over slightly longer trip than tomorrow's 2 mile 4 that he won, dropping back to 2 mile 1 furlong tomorrow afternoon. But I thought that was a good performance by him. He stuck on really well. He jumped really well on that occasion. And Kerry Lee has been doing really well since she's taken over the licence from her dad. So in that 150 at Exeter, the selection is going to be Kyle Marlock.
Kyle Marlock then for the combination of Kerry Lee and Jamie Moore in the 150 at Exeter. We stay at Exeter for our next race then. This is their 220. A mare's novices chase here. 2 mile 3 furlongs is the trip ahead of these mares. 6 of them down to go to post at the time of recording. And I suppose you can't help but start with the second horse in here. Bit of a puzzle. It's just been a superb performer so far in her career. Well-respected connections as well.
Yeah, I mean, Harry Fry, super young trainer, going places. Again, 5 from 12 in the last few racing weeks. He's in great form. She's a lovely mare, this bit of a puzzle. And again, she landed grade one success last time we saw her at Fairy House over 2.5 miles. Just shy of that tomorrow afternoon. But again, she's a beautifully bred individual. She's got a great record. First time over fences. She's sure to be very well schooled. And again, a clear round sees her in that winner's enclosure, I feel.
Okay, bit of a puzzle then. A strong vote there for Pimmis. It's Harry Fry and Noel Feely teaming up on that one. We go over to Toaster now then for their 210. And again, a reminder, all Toaster races with runners of 5 or more are subject to our money back for second guarantee. Bets up to £25. And that includes this 210, which is a limited handicap chase. 2 mile and 5 is the trip for this class 4. 8 runners at the time recording. If they all stand their ground, there's likely to be 1 or 2 with an each way chance, Pimmis.
Yeah, it could well be. Again, you know, soft ground at Toaster, up that long straight, real grinding finish. Does take an awful leather getting. I think there's 2 horses in this race that hold the key, to be fair. The top one, Chicoria, and number 3, St John's Point. They raced against each other at Market Raisin not too long ago. And basically, I felt that Brian Hughes on St John's Point on that occasion went a little bit hard too early doors. Again, if he rides him a bit more patiently tomorrow, I think he'll get the better of Chicoria, who eventually came with a wet sail under Dickie Johnson at Market Raisin to land the spoils. Since then has run and disappointed at Leicester. Now, whether that run came a little bit too quick for him since that Market Raisin race or whatever, not too sure. Henry Daly's decided to turn him out quickly. And again, he supports the cheap pieces for the first time tomorrow afternoon. So watch this space a little bit with Chicoria. But I think with a little bit more patient ride, I definitely feel St John's Point is the one they've all got to beat.
St John's Point then, Charlie Longston and Brian Hughes getting the vote for Pimmers, which Chicoria rates the biggest danger in that 210. We go to Chelmsford City now for a bit of all-weather action for our final race on today's podcast. This is the 640, a mile handicap here for 12 runners. It's a class 6 event. What did you like in the race, Pimmers?
Oh, God, blimey. Now, you know, you've given me some little sweeteners, a graduation chase, a mare's only chase, and then you come to this.
Oh,
blimey. In at the deep end. Make life difficult. Again, 12 of them are declared to run, and if you look deep enough and hard enough, you could actually make a case for all 12 of them, because what you see is what you get. They are very, very much of a muchness. But I think looking to want to land the spoils for us is something that is in good form. And that's exactly what Greek Island did last time out at Wolverhampton when it beat Dark Panther by 0.5 length. Again, it was a big price on that occasion. It was a 22-1 shot, so possibly hadn't shown a great deal for them, Neil Mulholland yard previous to that. But I think his confidence surely will be bolstered by that success. Neil Mulholland's had his string in good form of late. And again, hopefully he could put back-to-back wins together. But it's not a getting too heavily involved contest for me. And again, Anne Stokel. We saw her to the fore yesterday afternoon with a winner at Southall, I think it was, wasn't it? So again, she's in form. The yard's in form. Cor blimey. Happy days if you're a follower of the Anne Stokel yard.
Yeah, certainly.
And to be fair, Anjua Beach run okay last time out at Chelmsford City. Not beaten overly far behind Honiton Lace. And again, could well be in the mix tomorrow night.
Okay. Greek Islands, though, getting the vote for you then. Neil Mulholland, George Baker taking the ride.
Yeah, it's tentative rather than confident. Yeah. But as Gay, in this type of event, it's very much what you see is what you get.
Yeah, pays to be with one who's at least got recent winning form in the book, I suppose. Just remind us, please, that one more time of your four selections for the action on Thursday.
Yeah, well, here we go. Starting with that graduation chase at Exeter, race time of 10 to 2. It's Kyle Moore Lock for Kerry Lee and Jamie Moore. In the mare's only chase, looking for a winning debut over fences for that very high-class hurdler. Bit of a puzzle for Harry Fry and Noel Feely. Heading to Toaster for their 2.10. I like the look of St John's Point. Charlie Longston and Brian Hughes teaming up there. And in that tricky 6.40 from Chelmsford City, taking a chance with Greek Islands.
OK, there we are, the sections of Chris Pimlott ahead of Thursday's action. Remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio to hear all of it live from 12:20 p.m. with Gary Capewell, Paddy Aspel and Craig Forsyth guiding you through the cards at Southall, Exeter and Toaster in the afternoon, then that evening meeting at Chelmsford City. Make sure you are with us from 12:20 on William Hill's Racing Radio. Thank you for joining me on this edition of the podcast. Pimmers, and best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.